This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guarantees to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call it 664-SEASONS.
Chicago, the grudge matches on the gridirons might be gone, but get ready to hit the ball and touch them all at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the real MVPs of SUVs. If you're thinking about rounding third and heading for home in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step and batter up. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to win the game like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate the nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
We're back live from Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village with more of the Spiegel and Holmes Show, presented by Circus Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
You know, right now, it's just about going out and competing every day, you know. I think kind of how that looks on a daily basis is going to be a result of who we have and how we are able to maximize our skill sets out there. But we just know we have to go out there and compete, and these guys are all on board, and it's been a good camp so far.
That is the unmistakable voice of Groats, you know. It's okay.
I need to hear more.
No.
So I did,
it's
I wasn't
good for you.
I did not have it tuned in.
I'm yes. Not trying to embarrass you.
No, it's okay. If I heard it again.
I don't think you
heard it, period. I just wasn't.
No. I'm not trying to embarrass you.
Okay.
But I am using you to prove a point. I'd say 98% of our listeners do not know that is Will Venable, the new manager of the Chicago White Sox.
Wow.
Which speaks to the difficulty of his task in terms of publicly breaking through into the baseball conversation, right? It's a tough spot when a team that won as few games as they did last year is only going to win a handful more, if that. Let's talk about it. He's Mark Grody. I'm Matt Spiegel. It is 670 The Score. This is the Spiegel and Holmes Show. Lawrence Holmes is at Rick Camp's wedding. Man, that's just like, that's one of the most fun things I've been able to say in a while.
That's the headline of today, by the way. Lawrence Holmes
is
at Rick Camp's wedding today.
That is the biggest news involving any host at The Score.
And we've talked about it now. This is the third or fourth time we've talked about Lawrence being at Rick Camp's wedding.
If you want to hear more about us talking about Lawrence Holmes being at Rick Camp's wedding, you can go back to 2 o'clock on the rewind function of the Odyssey app. By the way, you'll also hear us in that segment do about 20 minutes on the departure of Dan Bernstein.
That will be
there's also that
big topic. Yeah.
But that's not why you called. Ryan McGuffey is our friend and teammate, colleague. He is the co-host of Inside the Clubhouse on Saturday mornings with Bruce Levine, and he joins us right now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. What's up, Guff? How are you? Hello, Guff.
He is overcome
with emotion.
Hello, do you have me?
Guff, we got you, buddy. How are you?
All right. I'm laughing my butt off over here like 6 minutes before you even got me onto the show. So you guys are doing a great job. By the way, Grody, Drew Dahlman, Joe Tooney, you could have said either one, and everyone would have been, yeah, that's probably true, too. Like, no one knows. It's fine. The voice.
Hey, that's a good point.
Don't just throw that around. I recognize the voice of Dio Dangbo and Jonah Jackson. Okay.
No, that's a good point.
Yeah, that's a talent.
All right. So if you're making the point, Guff, that Will Venable's job is that he's so new into our mindset that we don't know the voice yet, that's fine. Will we know that Will Venable has had an impact on the Chicago White Sox by the way they play this year, and how might we know that he's had an impact?
Holy hell, I hope so. I mean, otherwise, what's the point? Like, you could have just kept running it back. I really, truly expect from everybody I've talked to, from what I've seen, and look, like, it's going to be bad. There's just going to be a lot of turnover, a lot of different names coming up and down from Chicago all year. But what one thing I do expect, and the receipts will be held on this, I know, I do expect the baseball to be cleaner and to look better, and cutoff man to be hit, and first to third to look better, and booted. But like, I'm so sick of seeing the 4-2 loss where you're just gritting your teeth for three innings because you're pissed about an error or a bobbled ball or a missed cutoff man. 4-2 and losing it the right way is a lot different. You guys both know that, covering baseball for a long time. And look, like, is Will Venable going to bring the White Sox to a 99 loss team? I don't expect that to happen. If he does, he should be manager of the year. But I do expect the baseball to look different. Look at the guy's resume. It's different than the guys before him. And the guys he's learned underneath, the Bruce Bochy's, he needed an extra. He said it. I needed one more year in Texas before I took a managerial job. To pull yourself out of the Cleveland Guardians and the New York Mets mix is surprising when you look up into where he landed with the White Sox, who were coming off of 41-121. But I think he believes in the bigger picture and what's being done behind the scenes. And people don't like to hear that, but I truly believe that that's what's different now.
I hope, Brian, that you're right about that, because it – like, when Pedro Grifol came in, honestly, and I'm not pinning this on you, I'm pinning this on what I heard from everybody talking about the White Sox was saying about Pedro Grifol, is that he will bring back some accountability, and there will be, at the very least, as you were saying about Will Venable, they will get back to basics, and they will be a fundamentally sound team, and that's what Pedro Grifol is going to bring to the White Sox. And that obviously didn't come close to happening. So
God,
I'm not,
you're so right,
I'm
man.
Not, I'm not ready yet to say, to buy it, quite frankly, from Will Venable.
And I think you are 100% accurate on that. Pedro Grifol came on the air immediately after his press conference with Chuck and I, live on television, and said, we're going to prepare to kick your ass every night. And it won that, like, that soundbite was looped over again and again. It's probably been played on the score 150 times. And it fell straight on its face. Do you know why? Because everything he said in the press conference, and God knows we could do a Mount Rushmore times three of guys who've come in here and won a press conference. Hopefully Ben Johnson didn't just become part of that Mount Rushmore. Hopefully it actually translates to on the field. But he won the press conference because of everything he said. We're going to change. We're going to hold people accountable. And then he let the inmates run the asylum. He walked in on opening day of Glendale, and instead of saying, here's my message, he looked around and was like, well, we got a lot of veterans here. They know what they've been doing. They've been doing it a long time. I think they know what they've done. They just won a division 2 years ago. And he put his hands up, and he stepped back, and he let them lead. And it fell apart quickly, and there was a disastrous clubhouse. Now, last year, I give him a lot of credit. It was for a team that was 41-121. They were not that type of a clubhouse. They liked each other even when they were losing. And I think I'm so sick of hearing about how much people like each other in a clubhouse. But when he went to Glendale with the acronyms, you guys, what? Like, talk about a guy that was desperate. Play fast. Was that Matt Eberflus or not? Play fast on the tunnel on your way to PFPs. Play fast. And then Fast had like five or six words, not four, because it's a four.
I don't remember Grifol's acronym.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember. Oh, yeah. Play fast. Play fast. Yeah.
My God, Guff, it's such a great point about how Grifol failed and let the veterans lead, and that thing was toast. He had like a weird mix, and he chose the vets, and it was really bad. The thing is, this team, this year on the big league level, if you're going to focus on that, it's a bad mix again, you know? Because they're like seven position players in their 30s who are decent guys, solid dudes. They're here to, like, instill habits and culture, but they're unlikely to be here when you're decent. I'm talking about, you know, Mike Tauchman's a good dude. Michael Taylor, right. Brandon Drury, Josh Rojas, Travis Jankowski might make this team, you know? Benintendi and Slater are hurt, but they're here. Joey Gallo's now gone, but, like, I mean, that's not what fans are going to be focused on if they're really smart fans who are willing to zoom out and look at what's being built and when this team will eventually be good. Who matters? Who matters on the opening day roster? Who really matters, and who should a fan focus on to see if they're any good and might develop into something that's genuinely useful?
Yeah, it's an awesome point. There's no cookies or carrots for the fans this week, and that's what sucks. This team reminds me of the 2012 Cubs, that Theo's first year where you had, like, you knew David DeJesus. You're like, oh, he's been a pretty good player all of his career, and he's coming here for a team that's terrible but wasn't going to see the other side. That's kind of what they have. They have a bunch of those guys. The difference is Theo wasn't coming in. The excitement level to just have Theo alone because of what was being talked about at the end game, people could deal with 2012. Fans are now coming off a 41-121 historic season, and here's what you're offering on opening day. And I get it. Like, I understand not throwing out Colson Montgomery out there and not throwing out like one or two more guys making their major league debuts because you're trying to appease the fans if they're not ready. Like, if Colson Montgomery comes up and flops in April because you wanted to give the fans a cookie,
yeah,
that's bad. And the White Sox have done that in the past. And I don't think Chris Getz is going to get caught in that same trap. And he doesn't care about time. He doesn't care about what people – he doesn't care about pressure or the noise. He's going to do it his way. At least that's what he told me. He's going to do it his way. And if time runs out, time runs out. He's going to stay true to the plan. We'll see if that's the case 2-3 years from now. But to your point, the one big difference between that Cubs team and this White Sox team is I feel like the fans need something. They need low-hanging fruit to, like, hop on board with and be like, man, I can't wait to watch Colson Montgomery. I know Braden Montgomery, he's a bad example because he's never played a game of minor league baseball, but yeah. Braden Montgomery in right field. You know, Chase Meidroff might be that guy, I guess.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
He's probably that guy on opening day that you're like, let him start. If he can be the on-base guy that somehow gets a 370 OBP or higher his rookie year, he'll be the fun guy. The problem is we're going to have to wait until midsummer and in the back half of this season for all of those cookies and carrots to show up. But in terms of this week, it's going to be a lot of those journeyman guys you already mentioned.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
So, good stuff from Ryan McGuffey, the co-host of Inside the Clubhouse. I agree that Chase Meidroff, he ought to be your opening day shortstop and leadoff hitter. That's a point of aggression. Dude has proven himself at AAA in the Red Sox system. He's part of the Groshay trade. Let him go out there and see what you got. Sean Burke in your starting rotation is one of those guys, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe Jonathan Cannon, because he had a good year last year, but he's had a crappy spring. I suppose Andrew Vaughn.
Oh man!
I mean, like, it's just. But I'll say this: Luis Robert Jr. on this roster is frankly just a distraction. Like, he doesn't fit. One of these things is not like the other. You know, and it's like the sooner they can rid themselves of that, the cleaner it will be. I know they're waiting, but I don't think the waiting is going to get rewarded with more value. Frankly.
Hmm. Good point. I saw ESPN this morning release, like, they had a long form feature on you know, can the worst team in baseball history be even worse? And,
yeah.
And it was actually a really good read, and Robert was a part of that. Here's what I'll say about Robert. Whether he stays on the field or not, I think every one of us would not be willing to put our money down that he is a healthy baseball player for the 80-plus games going into the All-Star break. I'm going to keep my money. I care too much about buying anything else than the idea of betting on a guy who's played 100 games twice. And mind you, one of those was exactly 100 games last year. However, I will say this. We've seen these guys, the Yoan Moncadas, the Eloy Jimenezes. If there's ever going to be motivation in these players, ever in the history of their lives, it would be last year or now. For Luis Robert, the spotlight is on right now. If he wants to be a nine-figure player ever in his life, and he's got the talent times three of any of those other guys I just mentioned, White Sox fans should actually be rooting hard for Luis Robert to be that guy that they were hoping to see in the last 4 years. That I really believe that. Maybe that's the biggest thing White Sox fans actually need to hang on to in the first 2 months. Watch, hope that this guy hits 15, 16, 20 home runs by June 5th and that the package and the demand for him is higher than any of us could have imagined, and that when the trade is made, you say, you know what, we got to see some of it. Because to be honest with you, Spiegs, Grody, it doesn't matter if he's a 330, 40 homer, 100 RBI player for a full season with the White Sox now. It's actually just more frustrating. So give it to us in a small sample size and get him out of here for as most as you can get at the deadline. Because if he's that guy, he will be the Garrett Crochet name at the deadline this year. The problem is the history, the back of the baseball card shows us he's not that guy. The talent does. The back of the baseball card doesn't. So you're just kind of crossing your fingers and hoping. Let's see it all fly one last time.
Hey, Mark Grody, isn't it fun to talk to Ryan McGuffey?
I love talking to Ryan McGuffey.
Love this guy. Guff, we got to roll, dude. You're the best. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Hey, we got a topic coming up at the top of the 4 o'clock hour. I might text you about it. Guff would be a good guy to ask about our topic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right, yeah, we're going to send you something. Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate you.
Hi, boys. All right, have a good day.
See you, man.
That's Ryan McGuffey. Right here on The Score. When we come back, the most entertaining person in basketball media talked about the difficult conundrum of coaches today. Let's hear that, and please stick around for our topic at the top of the hour. Dave Wanstead later on as well, and we'll continue to weigh in on occasion about the Score news of the day as well. It is Spiegs and Grody on The Score.